Griff, just explain the environment we're in right now. With the Monday reporting was crazy and bad reporting, as far as I'm concerned. What are you seeing?
Oh, it's chaotic. You know, this is what people do when they want to test the waters. This is what people do when they don't have the courage to speak publicly and stand behind their words, is they leak stuff out. You know, and as a reporter, you got to be wary that you're not being used, right?
Right.
And listen, I know the reporter from the Detroit Free Press. He's a good guy. He's not some shady guy that's chasing headlines or looking to sensationalize. That's not what that reporter's like. So I want to speak. I know him. Did he get used? There's no doubt in my mind. You know, listen, that's happened to me before. I've reported a story using an anonymous source, and I don't even mind telling you what it was. It's Dante Stallworth. Dante Stallworth told me personally he was going to come back. He told me that on a Monday. He said, Mike, I'm coming back, but they want us to wait until Thursday to announce it at a press conference. And I said, okay. So I wrote a story, Dante Stallworth coming back according to source. Well, between Monday and Thursday, Dante Stallworth met with an agent and lost his eligibility, and he didn't come back. So when I wrote it, it was absolutely true. But things change, and I think that's what happened. I don't think it was bad reporting unless you consider – you know, maybe you don't trust somebody because you got to trust that person that gives you the information. Obviously, in my case, it was the guy that was making the decision. So, yeah, I trusted him because he was the one. But when it's a president or when it's an athletic director, I don't know who the source was. Obviously, it was somebody pretty ironclad because you got to run that up the ladder and that's got to get signed off on by a lot of people before you go with an anonymous source, because the Detroit Free Press is the flagship station of Gannett, which owns all the Tennessee papers. It owns the Tennessean, it owns the New Sentinel, it owns the Commercial Appeal, and you know, Gannett doesn't play. I mean, that is a major league. That is the biggest newspaper owner in the country. So I have no doubt that all the boxes were checked, the sourcing was complete, and the story changed. And so now, that's happening all over. That's happening all over. There were leaks all weekend. Yahoo, CBS Sports, Sports Illustrated. They all got used. They all got talked to. And we all said the same. The Big Ten is trying to get everybody to go with them. They tried to pressure everybody into thinking they were going to push the button. And when it was time for everybody else to push the button, everybody else sat there. The Big Ten said, now, wait a minute. We're not talking about camp. Now we're talking about delaying. Oh, are you? Because that's not what came out this weekend. So what you saw was a failed power play by a conference, by a group of presidents that aren't sophisticated enough to understand how the media works, that don't understand the gravity of taking college football away. They got their own coaches coming out against them, lobbying against them publicly. I mean, and this is, you know, this is an example. Sometimes, you know, there's some good university presidents out there. I want to say that. There's some really good ones out there. But there's some really bad ones. And we've seen what happens when academians try and run athletic departments. Right, we saw that at Tennessee when Jimmy Cheek took over. It was an unmitigated disaster. People, fish out of water. Academians do not belong running sports. Coaches do not belong running academics, and yet it happens. So, in a nutshell, I think that's part of where the chaos came from and what it was about.
Also, felt kind of like this weekend that the Big Ten presidents thought that they could announce or canceling whenever they were going to announce it, and that they would have other leagues just fall in line. They knew they had the Pac-12, apparently, but other than that, they thought the domino effect would be significant enough for everybody to fall in line, and I think they're finding out, at least in the moment, that's not the case.
Right. You know, that's why they leaked it out. That's why they wanted those reports out there, so that other conferences would huddle and say, well, if the Big Ten's canceling, we're canceling too. Yeah, the Big Ten, and I covered that league for 4 years. There's a lot of great things about it. Look, I graduated from a Big Ten school. I'm proud to have a Big Ten degree. I mean, the academics up there are very good. But when it comes to modern-day sports, there's a level of arrogance that's not warranted. And they're finding that out. I mean, they got a lot of TV sets. They got a big contract. When they added Rutgers in Maryland, everybody said, oh, my gosh, what a horrible move. Well, that's because you looked at the wins and losses. What you didn't see was they improved their television geographical footprint by 33%. okay? They added 33% more televisions by adding two more schools. And those schools don't get a full share for quite a while. They still don't. So that was a very shrewd and very good business move if you're the Big Ten money-wise. And their institutions are benefiting. They got bigger payoffs from their television package than the SEC did. So they're shrewd business people. But in the world of perception, they lost. They lose. Big time. Big loss for the Big Ten. Big loss of credibility. This is going to damage their recruiting efforts. This is going to make student-athletes think twice about that conference because of the level of commitment or lack thereof. They're still on shaky ground. They still haven't announced anything. The people that are coming out front and center are the people that are comfortable in the spotlight. Jim Harbaugh, Ryan Day, Scott Frost. Get out of the way. Let a real man handle this, university president. Go back to your office, put your bifocals back on, and study more academia and come up with some more courses and improve your science and health departments, by the way, so that we can come up with a vaccine. Because it's been a while now, and I'm banking on our country doing that. I still think we're in the greatest country in the world. I still believe in what we're doing. We're all trying to move forward with measured risks right now. There is no good answer. There's no magic bullet. There's nothing. Well, this is what you need. This is the right answer is different for different people. If you're a high-risk person, then hell yeah, you're going to stay in. If you're a 21-year-old who doesn't have a home to go back to and you're chasing your dreams and ambitions, then you're probably more inclined to take that risk. One size does not fit all. And that's why the concept of freedom that we have in our country works for us.
Some talk, and maybe just that, from a couple of coaches on Monday saying, to the effect, if our league doesn't play, we will seek as a football program other alternatives. I guess meaning other leagues. I don't know what the legal language is, but Griff, is that something that would even be doable?
Well, I saw Dennis Dodd tweet just a couple of minutes before I came on that one of the television executives said, oh, well, that was, these different networks could get in the way of it. You know what I say? Yeah, you do that. You do that. You get in the way, and let's watch those optics play out. Let's watch some greedy television network say, nope, we're not going to let you do it. You know, and who would they really play? Let's say you got five Big Ten schools, okay? Let's say you got Ohio State, Michigan, Nebraska, Iowa, and Wisconsin. Maybe throw in Michigan State. Okay, right there you got a five-game season. And then you've still got the American Athletic Conference and Conference USA. And you've got a couple independents floating around out there. I think Army's out there, right? So you could do it. You could come up with an 8-game, 10-game season. It's doable. I don't know how realistic it is because, again, you know, I don't know the politics of it. I mean, you talk about World War III going on inside those football buildings and those president's office. You know, but here's the bigger issue. This is what nobody's talking about. We're talking about different conferences and, you know, what's safety. We're talking about players being tested three times a week before games and university presidents say, oh, we're not sure. What about the kids you're letting back on campus? Are you testing them three times a week? Are you sure about them? Because that seems awful damn hypocritical to me. If you're going to let kids on campus but you're not going to let your football players play and they're being tested and monitored 24/7, that makes zero sense. It shows you how out of touch some of these – it's like, what, did everybody become Vanderbilt overnight? Did every school in the country become Vanderbilt overnight and become that out of touch with athletics and that unsupportive of their athletic programs and coaches overnight? Is that what's happening in some of those conferences? Because it looks like there's a big disconnect to me.
Big Ten presidents meet this morning at 10:30, I believe, Eastern Time, Griff. What do you think the SEC is doing right now?
Sitting back, arms folded, feet out in front, saying, look, we told you we're going to wait it out. We're going to wait it out. Greg Sankey said, hey, look, we said we were going to wait as long as possible and gain as much information as possible before we make our decision. Okay, so last week the SEC saw this coming. They said, you know what, let's push back fall practices until August 17th. Let's push them back. And let's start our season September 26th. We don't need to start it early. Let's start it later. Let's move everything back. Let's give ourselves some time to breathe, right? We don't have to make any decisions here. Let's just wait, and let's just see what happens. And so that's what they're doing. It's not that hard. Nobody needs to be panicking here. These presidents are panicking. These other conferences are panicking. They're trying to seize the moment. Maybe they sense a weakness. You know, it's kind of like when the players up in the Pac-12 filed those ridiculous, 50% of the revenue demand. First of all, that can't work. I don't know who's advising you. I don't know what dime store lawyer you hired. But that model doesn't work, ding-dong. All you got to do is look at the NFL players don't even get 50% of the revenue in the NFL. So whoever came up with that plan needs to go back to law school. If they even have a law degree, who knows? Somebody might have hatched it while they were playing Call of Duty one night. It was so misconstrued and out of touch with reality. But what it did was panic the Pac-12. Holy cow, they can't give that leverage up. They would shut the season down before they'd give that kind of leverage up. So what's going to happen is that players are going to have to deal with what they got, or there's not going to be a season. Or the league can tell them to walk. Hey, look, this is what you signed up for. When you signed your scholarship papers, these were the rules. You knew these were the rules. You decided on this. If you want to drop out of school and go play in the CFL, it's there for you. But you can't expect people to change the rules after you start to play the game. That's not how it works. So that was one issue. The big issue is that our country's litigation system, judicial system, is broke, where everybody can sue everybody. Oh, my gosh, your pet rabbit looked at me wrong. I'm going to sue you. What? So now we have, like, a legitimate issue with COVID-19 liability that's dangling out there. Which way is that going to go? Does it depend on the political persuasion of the judge? Does it depend on which courtroom you get? Seems pretty simple to me that this is an invisible virus. And that there wouldn't be any grounds to be suing anybody unless someone was reckless and not following protocols. And to my knowledge, these schools have done a pretty good job with that the last 2 months, Bill. I know there's been one or two cases of some kids that have had some complications, but there's been a lot of football players back on campus for 2 months, doing a lot of running, a lot of sweating, a lot of lifting, a lot of physical exertion for 2 months now. And I don't know of any COVID-19-related illnesses that have anything to do with the weight room or being on the field or anything like that. I think they've done a very good job, and I think that's why the players are speaking up and speaking loudly about their right to play. Hey, you told us this is what we needed to do, and we're doing it. So you let us play. That's what they're saying. I think they got a pretty good argument.
Griff, we'll see you next Tuesday, sir. Well done.
Take care, Bill.